Mace Vingan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3. The game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our very good friend, Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Tim, this morning I was checking over Mel Kiper's latest mock draft on ESPN.com, and I was seeing a lot of the familiar names in the top 10. He has Cam Ward going to the Titans, Abdul Carter going to the Browns, Shedeur Sanders going to the Giants. I get down to number 9, and I'm stopped in my tracks. Mel Kiper has Jackson Dart, the quarterback out of Ole Miss, going 9th overall to the New Orleans Saints. That caught me by surprise. I know that Jackson Dart turned a lot of heads at the NFL Combine, but what do you make of Jackson Dart apparently skyrocketing up draft boards?
I'm actually not surprised by it. I think he has a lot of traits that you would want in a quarterback that goes in the first round. I think there have been, like, if you were to, you know, just, you know, test physically, you say, okay, height, you know, height, weight, strength, mobility, arm strength. If you were to do that in comparison to Shedeur Sanders, like, Jackson Dart probably wins every category. And so, you know, I think you look at that, you look at the fact that, you know, he played a lot of football in college. You know, that's something I've talked about a lot. Like, just, you know, for some perspective, like, Cam Ward, you know, if you include Incarnate Word and the other stops, like, he's going to, you know, leave college with, like, over 2,300 pass attempts. You know, and Jackson Dart, you know, in similar fashion, not nearly as much as Cam Ward, but he's played a lot of football. And so, you know, kind of like Bo Nix, where, you know, here's a guy who, like, has first-rounder traits, right? Size, strength, athleticism, like the what you kind of expect out of a first-round quarterback. I think Jackson Dart possesses a lot of those, and so it doesn't really surprise me.
A lot of new quarterbacks in new places, Tim. Sam Darnold in Seattle, Geno Smith in Las Vegas, Justin Fields with the New York Jets, Daniel Jones lands in Indianapolis. Which quarterback landed in the best situation for him?
Well, I think, I mean, I would probably pick two guys specifically. Like, I don't know that I thought Daniel Jones was still a starter, would have an opportunity to be a starter. So the fact that he goes to a place, and then when you see his contract, to say, look, he's going to end up as a, you know, he most likely will end up as the starter in Indy, that's pretty good living right there. And I would say a similar thing for Justin Fields. Justin Fields' contract is not backup money, which is really what he was last year. I mean, he basically gets beat out by Russell Wilson. And, you know, he signs way better than backup money and goes to a place that, look, if they don't draft a quarterback, he's going to find himself, you know, in a situation where he's the guy. So I think anytime there's somebody that is fighting for their future as a starting quarterback in the National Football League, and then they find themselves as the presumed starter, at least at some point during the year, when as they enter into training camp, that's a big-time win for those guys.
Now, Tim, you did mention Daniel Jones as one of those guys that may have ended up in a perfect situation. If indeed Daniel Jones beats out Richardson, what then does happen? What happens then to Richardson? Do you think it will be another Darnold and J.J. McCarthy sort of situation when he's up to speed, when we feel he's ready, we're going to throw him back in there? Or could it be a situation where Daniel Jones ends up playing well enough to sign a longer-term contract there?
Yeah, and I don't know that it's as much about Daniel Jones, because I'm not convinced that he'll play well or he'll stay healthy, right? I mean, just look at his track record of, you know, just inability to, you know, play the entire season and be healthy and then continue to, you know, really be a consistent passer throughout the entire season. You know, he hasn't been able to do those things. So you know, I do think, like, what happens to Jones and then what happens to Richardson, you know, I think are going to exist, like, in totally separate scenarios, right? So, and the reason I say that is Daniel Jones could fail and Anthony Richardson could still end up like Trey Lance, right? It doesn't mean, or Jones could have success, and I think that's probably the most similar path, you know, for Richardson in terms of Trey Lance. I say that because of this. I referenced Cam Ward and pass attempts, you know, coming out of college. Do you realize that Anthony Richardson left college with 348 pass attempts? Like,
wow, ever. That's one season.
And so
it's
now
not
think
a lot.
About this.
Yeah.
So now he's played in the NFL for a couple of years, but because of injuries and whatever, like, he, like that, excuse me, that's his NFL pass attempts, right? And then you go to college, and, like, it's the same thing. Like, he didn't, it's fewer than that. So, like, when I say that, like, you can't get better. You can't be good if you don't get the reps doing it at the toughest position in sports. So, like, I just – that to me is, like, there's a time-on-task element. So I say all that, D. Mace, just to say that, like, if he's splitting time with Daniel Jones, then he's not playing. And, like, you're not going to get better if you haven't been doing it. And he hasn't been. And that was kind of always my issue – on the Trey Lance front, and I think it applies in a very big way to Anthony Richardson.
Now, Tim, do you think someone's going to convince themselves? Because, like Adam said, Jackson Dart seems to be moving up the charts, and we see this each and every year, especially when there may not be a consensus 1, 2, 3. Then all of a sudden, there's only one guy. Then all of a sudden, there's two or three guys, and then it ends up being, you know, team possibly forcing themselves into drafting a guy that they probably any other draft year they wouldn't draft him. But do you think as this process continues to go that Jackson Dart or anyone else outside of the two guys that we've talked about, do you think they will start entering the picture more and more and realistically get drafted in that top 15?
I think Jackson Dart likely will. I don't know that anybody else makes it into the top 15. I do think that there's a chance that somebody just absolutely loves Tyler Shuck from Louisville. You know, I would just say this in terms of, you know, people talking themselves into something. And let me, hopefully this isn't long-winded, but let me preface this by this. When I look at a quarterback, I believe that arm strength is the trait that can mislead you the most in terms of quarterback evaluation, right? So, like, Tom Brady is never going to go down as having the best arm strength ever. Neither is Peyton Manning. Neither is Drew Brees. Neither, like, so, and you can run down the list of guys, you know, like, look, Steve McNair had a strong arm, but it wasn't like, that wasn't the trait that you just had to follow everywhere you went to be like, yep, that's the reason he's going to be good. Like, there was other things about his game that made him great. And I think that, and so I tend to, when I evaluate quarterbacks, I think, not weigh just like the physical attributes as much as some other people do. Right. So, look, I'm going to like some, like I liked Kirk Cousins coming out more than, you know, some other people did. And because I wasn't bothered by what people thought his physical skills were. So I say all that is I tend that direction. Okay. Now, I also think that there's a difference between Matthew Stafford and somebody that doesn't have those physical attributes, right? The ability to do those things. And so I do think it matters, but I think if you lead with that, you can get yourself into trouble. So I'm going to bring this to Shedeur Sanders. I think that he's a really good quarterback. I think he's been coached well to play the position. I think he knows how to play the position. I think he has things about him that translate to success long-term at the position in the NFL. Okay. And I'm going to say this, and like, I hope people are going to hear it initially as an insult, and let me explain it. I think his upside is Andy Dalton. That's what I think Shedeur Sanders is because of what he is physically. Now, listen, Andy Dalton's thrown over 250 touchdown passes in the NFL. Like, he's been a wild success. But no one ever thought Andy Dalton was a top five pick. So, like, I don't know if I'm making that distinction clear enough. Like, that to me is the difference. It's no different than when Teddy Bridgewater came out and people thought I was being critical of Teddy Bridgewater when I said, look, I think his ceiling is Alex Smith. And, like, Teddy Bridgewater didn't have Alex Smith's career. You know, and so I think when we're talking about that top 15, and I said the same thing to you guys about Mac Jones when he came out, like, when the guy has athletic deficiencies, when you are going to play a sport that's got some of the most, you know, freakish athletes on the planet playing it, I do think if you're going to be talking about the rarefied air of the first 15 picks, I do think it matters. And so it's a long way for me to say, like, I do think people are going to feel like they've got a forced hand on Shedeur Sanders.
It's a great point, and it leads me right into the question I wanted to ask you, and you've put the pathway out there. Tim Hasselbeck is with us. So I saw a study done, I think it was out of Cleveland. Tony Grossi, I think, has done a lot of research here. Last 5 years, there's only two quarterbacks starting that were drafted outside the first round. I think Brock Purdy is one, and obviously Jalen Hurts is the other. There's other guys who were drafted in the second round, but it was previous to the last five drafts, like Geno Smith. He doesn't count in that. So it is hard to find your quarterback outside the first round. I think it was his point. Mm-hmm. So, but all of those things you said about Sanders and some of these other guys, so to me, if you're the Titans, is Cam Ward worth the first pick in the draft? It's different than saying Cam Ward is a first-round pick and take him with the first pick. So is he that much of a physical upside to warrant that kind of pick?
So here's what I would say about that. And so I hope this doesn't sound like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth on it. If you believe that somebody is a 10-year starter, right, a decade-long starter, and will play at a starter level or a high level for that stretch, I think it's okay to draft that guy anywhere. You know,
okay.
So you see him. So like, so when I say that,
even if he's
like
Andy Dalton,
revisionist history. Yeah, look, with the look. I mean, I don't have it in front of me of like who the Bengals picked in the first round. You know, while Andy Dalton was around there, but like, I would bet you that he meant more to the franchise than any of those other guys, right?
Right. Like they were a laughing stock for a long time. Yeah, Andy right? Dalton gave like them some really good years.
Stabilized them, took them to the playoffs four times, like all the stuff. So, like, you know, so I say that to say when Matt Ryan was coming out, I mean, it was like, oh, you can't, guy threw 19 interceptions at Boston College last year, doesn't have elite arm strength. So, Miami Dolphins, nope, can't do it. Look, so they drafted Jake Long. Look, they got Jake Long right. They drafted a really good player. But, like, wouldn't they have been better off by drafting the quarterback? They would have, because they would have stabilized the most important position. So, you know, so what I'm saying is like, if a guy can be a decade-long starter, then it is okay to take him anywhere. But, like, it just always kind of bothers me when we do these draft, you know, comparisons. You know, everybody is, you know, every left tackle, like the comparison is Jonathan Ogden. It's like, no. Like, who's the Mike Roos, right? Like, who's the, because like, it's going to be that guy too. Like, and that's okay. That's a first rounder. That's a decade long starter. Like, I just think sometimes our comparisons are wrong. And I also think the expectations are wrong. So, if you knew that you were drafting Andy Dalton, and some, that's why I'm saying it, for a lot of people initially it'll sound like an insult, but if you knew you were drafting Andy Dalton, you got the pick right.
Even, so, but there's extra pressure on the first pick, don't you think, from the fans?
Yeah, there is. And so here's what I would say about Cam Ward. Cam Ward, he has like elite traits. Like his ability to throw the football is different than Shedeur's, different than Andy Dalton's when he came out. And I think when you look at the path, okay, and I've referenced this before. And so it's like the evidence of proof of like, what can the guy do? You're not evaluating 393 attempts. You literally have the ability to evaluate 2,400 attempts on Cam Ward. So like, there should be way less mystery on Cam Ward than there is when you're drafting Mark Sanchez with 17 starts in college, or, you know, Anthony Richardson's few starts, or Trey Lance's situation. Look, and I think that's one of the reasons why, like, you know, people miss when they looked at, or I'll give you another example of a guy with played a lot of football. Go look at Bo Nix, you know, so like there's so much to evaluate and say, wait a second. And he has these physical traits and he has that time on task. Yeah, this is worth it. So yeah, like I do think Cam Ward has the traits to make it worth it.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us here on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. Tim, a pleasure as always. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good. See you, fellas.
615-737-1025. Some really interesting stuff
That's interesting stuff. Big time.
We will react to what Tim had to say, and you can react as well at 615-737-1025. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is from Streetcar Taps and Garden. Patio season is here. Enjoy great food, cold drinks, and fresh air on Streetcar Taps and Garden's covered patio. Get half off a $30 gift card now before they are gone at thegamenashville.com/deals.